one another and hear from the Lord and all that good stuff. Amen? Church is not a place where you just leave depressed, but receive the word of the Lord that he has for you today. Leave here like you haven't came in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Don't get quiet on me now. So for just a little while today, we're going to be talking about the finished work of the cross and what that work accomplished, that one thing that it accomplished that we as Christians and believers can receive. And if you've not saved, and if the internet's on this morning and you're listening, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can get in on this finished work today. Amen. So the word reads in John 19, when Jesus had received the vinegar, the sour wine, different translations says it different ways, he said, "It's finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit, or gave up the ghost, as some translation says it. There are three English words, "it is finished," that are actually one Greek word. I'm not fluent on Greek, so I will spell it for you. And it's called T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. Does anybody know how to pronounce that? Okay, good, I'm like company. I feel better. Amen. So anyway, that word in the Greek means finished. It means it is accomplished. It is completed. The work is done. Paid in full. Woo! Hallelujah. That right there, we could go home right there and say it's done, it's finished, it's accomplished. It's been paid in full. This was not a cry of defeat. When Jesus said it is finished, it was not a cry of defeat, but it was a cry of victory. It says, "I have come to do what the Father asked me to do. My task is over, but there is a new beginning. There is a beginning of what just happened." So when Jesus says it is finished, I don't think it was a sigh, a moan. I think he said, "It is finished." And we know, according to the word, what happened then. Amen? So it wasn't a cry of defeat, but a shout of victory. It's finished. It stands finished. It will always be finished, accomplished, paid in full. So Jesus faithfully fulfilled his mission to save mankind from sin. So a new beginning took place. We know that he went to the grave, stayed 3 days, rose, resurrected, now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. It's finished was a common saying in those days when Jesus was around. And to the servant, you know, when he said the job was completed, the servant would go to the master and he would say, "I have completed the job that you gave me." Or to the priest, he would say, "Bring the sacrifice to the and offer it." The highest priest would examine, expect it, and said, "Good, it's finished." To the merchant, he would say, "The debt has been fully paid when you purchase something." And, you know, in the first century, when people said this, they said, "Paid in full." That would shout the word. They would shout out that word, that Greek word. It's a shout of triumph and a shout of victory. And so through this victory, we became victorious. And it's not something we have to work for or anything, but it is a victorious cry for all mankind when Jesus said it was finished. And so may I remind all of us today that this was not some last minute idea on the mind of God, but it had been purposed long before and planned. Because see, what you got to understand, that God is never without a plan. Amen. That he sees the bigger picture. And sometimes we think our life would be easier if we could see the bigger picture. But how many knows that we're a people that like to be in control? So if we see the bigger picture, we will try to work it out, and then it would just all be messed up. But as I said so many times before, he always gives us just enough light for the step we're on, thank God. And he shows a little bit at us at a time as we go. But God is never without a plan. So it didn't surprise him when Adam and Eve fell. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it caused sin to come on all mankind. God already had set a plan into motion. And it would take years and years for that plan to be accomplished. And some of you here are believing God, and you've stood and stood and stood, and you've not seen the light of day yet, but light's coming, amen? It will be accomplished in God's time and according to his purpose, so don't give up. So God is never without a plan, and the ultimate plan was to redeem mankind back to him that had been lost, that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace, amen? It's finished. God had a plan of our redemption. Ephesians 1 says, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen. You were chosen before God, before your mom and daddy ever got together. Somebody said amen. Amen. He already knew you. Amen. Before the foundation of the earth. So in him you were chosen already, having been predestined according to his plan of him who works out everything. Who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his own will. Hallelujah. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth. You're not here by accident. You were planned to be here for such a time as this. You were male or female as God destined you to be.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 5:9 said, "And him being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So through his salvation, through his sacrifice on the cross, he, Jesus, became the source of our salvation. Now, when something has a source, that is what you draw from. Amen? So it's a gift. A source is something you draw from. It's not something that is necessarily imposed on you. It's not something that you have to receive or that you have to take. When I have been given a gift, I can either reject it or I can either receive it. It's not that you're going to take this gift, bless God. Amen. So that's the way it is with salvation. We can either receive it or we either can reject it because it's a gift that's been given to us freely. So what was finished on the cross by his sacrifice was the offering of a gift that made salvation available, that made salvation available to us because we were lost, all born into sin, lost without God. Because of what Jesus did, that road of redemption was paid back because of the blood that was shed on the cross. Amen? Because of the cross of Jesus paid for the sins of the world. Jesus has paid our sin debt. A debt I did not owe, but he paid it. Amen? A debt that I owe, but he paid it. Hallelujah. So if you've received this gift, Jesus has forgiven you. You stand before him in a robe of righteousness. When he looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus. He sees you perfect, whole, well, and of sound mind. And that's the way he wants you to see yourself, that you are not flawed. When you came to him, he redeemed you. He covered you in his robe of righteousness. You stand before him, pure and whole today. Amen. So Jesus has forgiven you and made you perfect in God's sight. You know, I was raised in a church where they was all time talking about the horns of the altar. I never could figure out where the horns was at. You know, they said, you've got to grab a hold of it. Now, some of you denominational people, don't be looking at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you've got to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and pray your way through, bless God. You've got to beg God. You've got to plead God. You've got to cry and moan and groan. If that's what it takes for you, that's fine. But one day I got a revelation, and I've been there and I've done that because I was a bona fide Pentecostal, hallelujah, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And one day I began to understand I don't have to beg God for anything. I don't have to, oh, hallelujah, this makes me shout, church, so just hold on. You don't have to beg God for anything. You don't have to grab a hold of the horns of the altar. You don't have to bargain with God, hallelujah. All you've got to do is receive by faith and believe the gift that he wants to give you. It doesn't have to be beat into you. Hallelujah. Just receive the gift that has been made available to you. You know, they said you've got to confess all of your sins. God already knew them, so why do you have to go back and confess them to be saved?
Amen.
What actually confess just means to thank God I am forgiven.
Amen.
And the root problem sometimes is a condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who follow not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is therefore now no condemnation. So just, you know, guess you got to do what you got to do to get to God. But I want to tell you, don't be struggling with God. And as he said it before, I'm giving you a new name. You will no longer be known as one that wrestles with God. You will no longer be known as one that has to feel like you've got to wrestle with God to get what he's already given, to make you what you already are. Aren't y'all glad y'all sit back there and spit today? I think the more you spit, the more anointed you are. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. But just receive the gift that he's given you. Your Father would not give you a gift of anything but goodness, love, mercy, and grace. So why can't we extend that to ourselves And not only to ourselves, but to our brothers and sisters, to those out in the world that are living contrary. If it hadn't been for God's grace, love, and forgiveness, where would you be at today? Amen. Hallelujah. So I was raised in that type of church. Just receive what has already been given to you. It's a gift. Just receive it, believe it, and walk it out by faith. So after Jesus' resurrection, there is nothing that we can do or earn what was already done. Like I said, it was given to us a gift. Only believing as Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior will bring you into salvation. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Indicates that we must do something. So sometimes when we put that on people, that you've got to confess your sins. And I'm not saying to not acknowledge when you're in something, because as long as you stay in something that's contrary to the Word, you're going to reap the consequences of that. Amen. But confess there simply means to be thankful for what God has already done for you. So if we go around with a sin consciousness all the time, guess how we're going to live? Sin conscious. So whatever we do, we think that it's a sin. And you know, there are terrible sins that people commit. But sin simply means missing the mark. How many of us has not missed the mark from time to time since we got saved? So we put sin over here as something black and ugly, and it is. But then there's something over here called grace and mercy that outshines the darkness. There is therefore now no condemnation to you. Don't live condemned, but live as a child of God that's been sanctified because of the blood of Jesus that was purchased for you at the cross. Church, when He said it was finished, it's finished. It's not something you have to work for or try to earn. It is a gift that you just have. You know, it's so hard for us to receive that sometimes and begin to believe that way, because we as a people want to work for what we get. You know, we're America. We are hard workers to bring in the bacon and the bread. And sometimes we bring that over into our realm of spirituality with God and our relationship with God. And God said, don't work, rest in me. There is a rhythm of grace that God says, you can rest in me because I've already done the work when I sent my son Jesus to die on the cross. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. So God already knows our heart. And when we use our voice, we use it to let people know, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm not there yet, but I am going to a place where He's not taken me yet. Amen. I've not arrived. I miss the mark sometimes. But I've been covered in the blood of Jesus. So what drove Jesus to pursue you and me? What kept Him on course, knowing the will that His Father had for Him? It was simply called love. Simply called love is what drove Him to continue on and to continue on, enduring the shame of the cross and what He went through, because He endured the joy that was set before Him. I think I've got that. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's not the scripture I'm looking for. He endured the shame and pain of the cross. Hebrews 12 is the scripture I'm looking for. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy that was set before Him was you and I. Love is what drove Him to continue on, going to the cross as the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could be redeemed back to Him. Romans 5 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, God knew you was going to be out there acting crazy and doing stupid stuff, but He protected you. He protected you. He seen you as already His child. He was just waiting for you to open your eyes and see yourself as He sees you, saved and sanctified. Amen. Saved and sanctified. Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For it, when we were enemies, at one time we were enemies with God. We didn't know anything about Him. He was not our friend. We shall be saved and rescued. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. If you were at enmity with God and enemies of God before you got saved, and yet He still loved you, now that you are His child, sanctified by the blood of Jesus, how much more? Do you think he wants to shower his love upon you and his blessings upon you? Because you then begin to realize how much he loves you and how much he wants to give you all things that pertain to life and godliness while you're here on this earth. Because we're going to have it all, church, when we get to heaven. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to have all the blessings. It's going to be done. Be blessed now. Walk in provision now. Walk in health now. Amen. So he endured the cross with you. He endured the cross with us on his mind. The joy that Jesus set his mind upon was our salvation through his death and reconciliation with God. To reconcile means to bring together again those who were separated. At one time, we were all separated from God. And then the light came on. You know, hey, I need a Savior. I need to change my life. You know, then we began to understand about the Word of God and about grace. Hallelujah, about grace. Hebrews 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This emphasizes the finished work. For by one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. You stand before God sanctified, holy, righteous, pure, and clean, even after that evil thought you had, even after that time when you just wanted to smack somebody. Amen. Do not let yourself get under condemnation. But continue to grow in your relationship with God. And as you grow in your relationship with God, you will find your character changing. You will find that your relationship with God gets stronger and developed. And pretty soon you'll think, I don't want to do anything to bring shame on God. I don't want to do anything to bring shame on his word. Not because I'm not forgiven. And not because he won't love me. But simply because I love God. And I know the great sacrifice that he had for me. Amen. There are some things that we just don't do because of our relationship with God. And when that relationship is right and working, it flows all over to the other relationships that we have in our life. So we are sanctified by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, believing, is the way to lay hold of it. By faith, I believe that what Jesus did on the cross for me, even though I may not understand the grace message yet, even though I may not understand how he can love someone like me, by faith I receive that he does, and I believe that he does. The Song of Solomon, we sing this song. He is altogether lovely. Song of Solomon 5 says, Jesus is the chiefest of 10,000. No equal among men, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. He was an earthly mother and a heavenly father. He was a friend among friends, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when Jesus went to the cross, he gave his all. He left the beauty of heaven and came to earth. He wore a crown of thorns so we could wear a crown of life. He walked up Calvary's road so we could walk on the streets of gold. He was crucified on a cross and died that we might live. He was treated unjustly so we could be justified. He, when we were on the road to hell, he paved the road for us to go to heaven. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for our eternal salvation. Amen. So as we look at Jesus, we see there is a life that can never be copied. A righteousness that cannot be tarnished. A peace that cannot be taken away. And a rest that God wants us to bring us into that cannot be disturbed. No matter what's going on around us, there is a rest for the people of God. Amen. There is a rest for you today. Quit striving for what already has been given to you. And learn to rest in the mercy and the grace of God. And say, God, you got this. You got this, God. You've got this, God. You've got it. Hallelujah. He's got it, church. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're believing for, he's got it. A glory that cannot be clouded. A light that cannot be darkened. There is no need he can't meet and no hurt that he cannot heal. He said it was finished, church. It's finished. So finished, the servant had finished his work. He finished the work. Everything you and I will ever need in time and eternity, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, in relationships, financial, material, has been provided by the one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He made the ultimate sacrifice. It has been completed perfectly. He finished what was needed for us to have eternal life and have an abundant life on this earth today. And I want to encourage you today, even though we don't see the bigger picture, as I said before, we're walking out that picture that God has already painted for our lives. And even though we may not understand it, if we want to take that brush and give ourselves a stroke every once in a while, God says, let me, I'm changing the name of the game. I'm changing the name of the game this year for you. So in closing today, and before we take communion, I want to read you a script in Romans 8 in a Message Bible that sums up everything that I've been talking about. And it's called The Solution is Life on God's Terms. And I'm going to read the whole chapter, so just be blessed this morning. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who entered into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal trinity at the hands of sin and death. God went for the juggler when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code weakened, as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those think they could do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end, but attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free, completely absorbed in self, ignores God, ends up thinking more of self than God. That person ignores who God is and what God is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can't hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, does not welcome this invisible but clearly present of God. The Spirit of Christ won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcomed him in and whom dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you, if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves in your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive unto himself. In other words, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave dwells in you and quickens you today. That same power dwells in you today. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. You are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. And don't you see that we don't own this do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Amen. And other, I forget about those things which are behind, and I press on toward the mark. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot walk straight if you are carrying a load behind you, because you are continually looking back to see what's behind you that's coming with you. So let it go. Hallelujah. Let it go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's a viciously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? What's next, glory to God? What's next for us, church? Hallelujah. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. He is our Father and we are his children. And we know who he is. And we know where we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him and not give up on those hard times, that's one thing I put in there, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Amen. God's going to stick with you through hard times, or you stick with God through the hard times. Amen. And just say, God, you got this. I may not understand it. It sure is rough right now. But I'm sticking with you, God. Hallelujah. Because I know that you've stuck with me and you're going to stick with me. So don't give up. Hallelujah. Don't give up. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the good times coming. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns in until both creation, all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same time. Moment of the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. Why do you think we're having all these earthquakes and all these weird things happening in the earth? The earth is groaning to be released from the sin and the pressure that it's been all these years. And it will be more and more as closer to the Lord gets back. So there's a groaning within us as children of God to be released from this world. But there's also a joyful anticipation of His coming and the life that we can live now in Him because of Him who made that ultimate sacrifice. All around us we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. Those sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We are, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful of our expectation. Hallelujah. The church is at a place where it's giving birth. Just as the earth is groaning and crying to be released, the church, His children, are at a time when we're giving birth to dreams and hopes. It's time to hold the baby, church. It's time to quit being pregnant. There's a time for deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired of the waiting, God's Spirit is right aside along us, helping us. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making a prayer out of our wordless sighs or aching groans. He knows us far better than we know as self. He knows our pregnant condition, keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Glory to God. Isn't this good? Amen. God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. That's why nothing takes Him by surprise. He's already got a plan for your life. Even though that you don't have one or never thought you had one or messed it up, I found out that God specializes in messes. Because when He restores, it's not like you restore an old painted wall. He knocks the wall down and gives you a brand new wall. Woo! Hallelujah. That's the restoration of God. Do you have a mess up enough, not for God's love, to restore to you the plan and purpose you have for you? Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Son stands first in the light of humanity. He restored. We see the original intended shape of our lives there in Him. And after God made that decision of what His children should be like, He followed it up by calling people by name. After He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then after getting them established, He stayed with them. God's going to stick with you. You can let Him go, but He's not going to let you go. And if I know He's got a firm grip on me, then it no matter how I feel letting Him go, I know that He's got me. And He's got you, church. He has got you. You are in His grip. You're the apple of His eye. And He's not going to let you go as much as you struggle and say that I quit.
Right.
And how many times have I said I quit?
Yeah.
Glory to God. God's got you, church. God's got you, sisters and brothers, today. And then after getting them established, He stayed with them to the end. So if God's on our side, how can we lose? God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son. Is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen?
Yeah, that's right.
Who would even dare to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us. Is anyone going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. No trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not anger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in the Scripture, church, can separate you from the love of God. Amen. It's finished. Hallelujah. It's finished. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They picked us off one by one. But none of this faces us because Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, living, dead, angelic, demonic, today, tomorrow, high, low, thinkable, or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God. God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. So when you leave this place today, know that there's nothing that can separate you from God. That God said it's finished. He meant that it was finished. It's a gift that He's freely given to you. You don't have to beg or plead for it. God responds to those that stand faith on His word and says, God, this is what Your word. God spoke to me one time. I was just pleading and begging God about something. And it was like God said, I can't hear you. It's mumbling before me. But if you will quote my word back to me, if you will stand on what my word says, that settled word. And I pray for so many of you that says the word that's already been settled in heaven has to be a word that is already settled for you. Amen? The word has been settled in heaven, so therefore it is already settled in you. That's why when His word goes forth, it cannot return to Him void, but it will accomplish the purpose that it's been sent forth to do. Because it's a settled word. God's word is settled for you today, church. His word is settled for you today. And we're getting ready to take communion. All this service is just blended together. That's just God doing what God does best. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray, and I want you to stand for your feet, and it's reverence to God. Bow your head and just receive this prayer of communion. And ask the people come up today that are going to be doing communion to come on up, and we'll be doing it like we did before. And hallelujah. So just bow your head in reverence to God, and I'm going to pray this prayer today. And as you come up to receive communion today, receive all that that communion has to offer you. Receive all that communion has to offer you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with You. A covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. And because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that His blood was shed in our behalf, we acknowledge that You bore our sins, sickness, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack. You bore all of that for us. Through Your sacrifice, we have complete redemption, total deliverance from the works of Satan. And as new creations in Christ Jesus, we realize that freedom has been bought and paid for with a price. We are forgiven and we are redeemed. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come forward, may we examine our own hearts. We judge not ourselves according to but only on according to of Your word, authority of Your word. In areas where we have missed the mark, strife, unforgiveness, jealousy, hatred, covetous, fear, worry, or disbelief, we take Jesus as our advocate and high priest. We ask forgiveness according to Your word. Your word says You are faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're so thankful for that today, God. Therefore, we do not eat of the bread nor drink of this cup unworthily. We rightly discern the Lord's body. We receive communion together now as the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. We are free from the works of Satan, spirit, soul, and body. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped and said, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do you in remembrance, often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do know the Lord's death till He comes. And Father, we thank You for all that You provided for us in Christ Jesus. And we confess this day that we are the blessed of the Lord. This covenant we enter into at the new birth is a covenant filled with exceeding great and precious promises of God. And we are partakers of those promises now. We are healed. We are redeemed. We are delivered from the authority of darkness and translated to the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We've come behind in no good thing. And all that we set our hands to do shall prosper. And we praise You, Father, for the newness of life that we enjoy now. And we give it all to You and thank You for it. The church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.
There's nothing worth more than come close, nothing can compare. tasted it, seen all the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit,
hallelujah. Pray that you've been blessed today, and I speak a blessing over you today, that you're highly favored of the Lord, and as you go this week, that you shine the love of God, that others may see that love and want what you got. Amen. So be blessed today. I love you all. Pray for you that this is your year. Amen. Amen. Thank you.